Romans 5, starting in verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray, and then I'll let you be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would help me to be able to make application from this text tonight. I pray that everyone here would be helped by your word through you. Hide me behind the cross tonight. Help me not to say anything that you would not want said. And Lord, I don't know everyone here personally. I don't know everyone's need, but you are more than able to meet everyone's need tonight. I would pray if there's anyone here tonight that is not sure that heaven is their home for eternity, I pray that tonight they could get that settled based on what we're going to learn tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. I'll let you be seated. Here in these verses of Scripture, we find a back and forth. If you were following along as I was reading, it was basically talking about one situation, and we're going to explain that in a minute, and then it was comparing it to another situation. It was basically talking about two men. Everyone here tonight, you are underneath one of these two men, okay? The first one is Adam. How many of you ever heard of Adam and Eve? Raise your hand if you've heard of Adam and Eve. You've heard of Adam and Eve. Okay, that's almost everybody's hand. Good, I think everybody raised their hand. So, you are either under Adam. The other individual that is mentioned in this text is Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you ever heard of Jesus Christ before? Raise your hand. All right, participation. All right, good. It's Christmas Eve. Maybe you've been eating a lot of chocolate today. Maybe the sugar content is about to go down, which means your eyes are about to go closed. And I only have a few minutes, so we're not going to have everybody standing and running around tonight, but might have you raise your hand a little bit. So, when you came into this building tonight, before I even met you, before I even heard your name, if you're visiting, before I even knew who was coming, and you could say the same thing, by the way, that everyone here is either under Adam or under Christ. There's no third option. Everyone. So tonight I'd like to speak to you on this theme, Adam versus Christ. Adam versus Christ. Humanly speaking, sin did not originate with Adam. Okay, now we're going to have to go quickly in our Bibles tonight, and go with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14. Isaiah, chapter number 14. Humanly speaking, sin did not begin with Adam. Instead, we see in the book of Isaiah that sin began with one of God's created angels, whose name is Lucifer. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12, the Bible says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, here's the problem of Lucifer. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most who? The Most High. Look at verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Okay, what's happening here is God is having a conversation with Lucifer. Okay, God created the angels, God created you, God created me, and here is Lucifer, and he is really the top angel, if you will. In fact, he is called an anointed cherub in another passage of Scripture. And yet, that was not good enough for Lucifer. He says here, I will. And he lists all of these, and he said the worst one of them was the last one when he said, I will be like the Most High. That's a problem. That's a problem. God shares his throne with no one. God shares his throne with no one. And so here we see the origin of sin. Now, let's quickly go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. So sin did not begin in the Garden of Eden. Humanly speaking, though, sin would begin in the Garden of Eden. Look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. So basically, that event that we just read about in Isaiah happened before Genesis chapter 2. Now, if you're new to the Bible, I can't really go into this in detail, but the Bible is not put together chronologically. The Bible is put together in themes. Okay? So that event that took place in Isaiah that we read about actually happened before what we're reading about tonight in Genesis chapter 2, even though it's two-thirds of the way through the Bible. Again, because it's divided into themes, and we can tell you more about that another time. But let's look and see what happened in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but... You can eat of every tree, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt, what's the next word? Not. You can eat of every tree in the Garden of Eden except one. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're not allowed to eat of that tree. God told Adam and Eve that. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So it was very a simple command, wasn't it? I mean, Adam and Eve had the whole garden. And the Bible tells us that Adam was in charge of naming all the animals. And I mean, boy, what a blessed place to live. No sin. One day there was a serpent that came in. It was the devil in the form of a serpent. And he tempted, and we're not going to read necessarily that whole account. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3. The serpent comes in. And the serpent goes to the weaker vessel. It doesn't mean in importance, but the serpent goes to the weaker vessel. He goes to Eve first. And he has a little conversation. Can you imagine if you were in a garden today and a snake were to walk up to you ladies and start having a conversation with you? Wow, that's what happened. In fact, I tend to believe, I'm not going to put my hand on the Bible and say that it's the gospel truth, but I tend to believe that snake wasn't on his belly yet, because that's coming after this event. I think that snake had some form of legs and just walked up to Eve and started to question God's word. Look in verse number 6 now, please. And then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Wait a minute. What did God say to Adam and Eve in chapter number 2? You can have every tree but one tree. And that's the tree that Eve picked a fruit from and took a chomp out of it. And then she handed it to Adam, and the Bible says, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Right here, ladies and gentlemen, we see for the very first time in humanity, in the very first time, God's law broken. And what happens when you break the law in Canada? What happens when you break the law if you're caught? Some people break the law and don't get caught. What happens? Consequence, okay? And that can range from a speeding ticket to a time in prison to whatever. When you break the law, there's a penalty, there's a consequence. And so the consequence here in Genesis chapter 3 is that God says, okay, Adam, you're going to have to, we don't have near the time to read all this, but I would encourage you to read it, Genesis chapter 3, because, okay, Adam, now you're going to have to go, and you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow, and you're going to deal with the curse that you've just brought on this earth. And then he says, talks to Eve and about having children and going through the pain of childbirth and obviously being under man and so forth. And again, all of this is God's order. But from that point on, every human being was handed something. We were handed an unfortunate gift. It wasn't a gift. We were handed a sin nature. Every man, every lady, obviously weren't a man and a lady at birth, every boy, every girl, let's back it up a little bit, right? They were born with that sin nature. Now, I don't know what happened in the Garden of Eden. I wasn't there, and the Bible doesn't tell us. I don't know. I don't think there was an explosion that went off when Eve took a bite of that fruit, chomp, and then there was an explosion. I don't think so. When Adam took a bite, I don't think there was any, like a siren going off, you know, like here comes the police, you took a bite of the apple. I don't think so. But something tragic took place that day. And at that moment, all humanity, spiritually speaking, died. Everyone born of woman from that point on died. We can take all sin tonight, and we can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and that's where it started, humanly speaking. Romans chapter 5, let's go back to our text, please. And I'm going to continue in this because we want to keep moving, but stay with me. Thank you for the way you're listening. Look what the Bible says in verse 12. We started with this verse. You see the phrase, sin entered into the world. Do you see that phrase? Sin entered into the world. That's not through Lucifer, that's through Adam. Sin entered in the world. And what happened because sin entered in the world? Do you see the phrase, death passed upon all men? You see that phrase? Raise your hand if you see that phrase. Are you with me? Death passed upon all men. That's not speaking of males, that's speaking of mankind. So everyone here tonight, death passed upon you when you were born, spiritually speaking, when you were born physically, death passed upon you spiritually. It's passed upon all men. Tonight, there's probably going to be babies born on New Year's Eve. There's going to be that first baby born in the Vancouver area for January 1st next week coming up. And there's always some kind of thing that gets tied into that first baby. You know what? That first baby born January 1st, 2020 is going to be part of the human race, but they're going to be born dead in sin. They're going to be born a sinner. We could say it this way. When Adam sinned, we all sinned. You see that last phrase of verse 12? For that all have sinned. All right? Here's a very tough question. How many of you have been born? Okay, guess what? Your hand is up. That means you're a sinner. Everyone here. We've got a two-week-old baby in the house tonight. You know what? Opal is a sinner. Sorry, Grandma. Opal's a sinner because her mom is a sinner. Opal's a sinner because we know her dad is a sinner. Yeah. It's passed on. When Adam sinned, we all sinned. When Adam disobeyed, we all disobeyed. When Adam fell, we all fell. Why Adam? Adam was the first man. We know that. We trace our lineage back to Adam. What happened to Adam happened to all of us. In the eyes of God, Adam was given the authority to act for the entire human race. When Adam fell, he passed the condition on to us. You know how sometimes people say, I have this because it's hereditary? Well, guess what? Sin is hereditary. You have it, I have it, everyone born has it. It's been passed on. Every human being is carrying the virus of sin and death. Now, let's look at our text tonight and see what one act produced. One act, what we're looking at is that act of eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God said to Adam and Eve, every tree is yours except one. For the day that thou eatest thereof, and we happen to have an apple sitting up here. I don't know why that's there. But wow, the Lord must have really been, the Lord has a sense of humor, you know that. We don't know that it was an apple though, ladies and gentlemen, but that actually was standing, that apple was right here a minute ago. And so anyway, the Lord knew, right? That act that Adam committed, the Bible said, God said to him, you shall surely die. Did Adam keel over and die? As soon as he took a bite, did Adam die? No. He wasn't talking about stopping breathing. He was talking about his spiritual condition was going to die. Notice what it brought. Number one, look at verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and what's the next word? Death. The first thing that Adam's one act produced was death. Now, it also did produce physical death as well. But more importantly, we're looking at spiritual death. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, what's the next word? Death. See the second word of verse 14? Death. Look at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be what? Dead. One act of Adam brought death on the entire human race. One act. The second thing that it brought, we must keep moving, is look at verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the, what's the next word? Judgment. Look at verse 18, please. Therefore, as by the offense of one, what's the next word? Judgment came. Secondly, one act produced, what was the first thing we said? It produced death. The second thing that the Adam's act produced was judgment. Judgment. In other words, Verdiana, what did you say a moment ago? Consequence. He broke God's law. So it brought judgment. It brought a consequence. The third thing that it brought, look at verse 16 again. Please. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. But the judgment was by one to condemnation. Condemnation. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So Adam took a bite of an apple, broke God's law, violated God's law, and here we are, 2019. We're thousands of years later, not sure exactly how many years later, but definitely thousands of years later, on Christmas Eve 2019, and everyone here tonight, you are either under Adam, who we've just described. That means that your spiritual condition is dead. That means that you deserve judgment. You're under God's judgment. And that means, number three, that you're under God's condemnation. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like any of those situations, do you? That's what's under Adam tonight. It's Adam versus Christ. You're either under Adam or you're under Christ. Now, you say, okay, I don't know which one I'm under. Well, when you hear what it's like to be under Christ, I hope you say, you know what? That's the one for me. Because if you're under Adam, look at Romans chapter 6, please. You might not have to turn the page. Look at verse 23 of Romans chapter 6. It says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Remember we said the first thing that Adam's act brought was what? Death. The word wage means payment. The word wage means consequence. It means penalty. It means that because of sin, there is a penalty, and the penalty is death. Everyone here tonight, we've already shown you this from the Bible, and again, this isn't Pastor Turner's word. This isn't Anchor Baptist Church's word. This is God's word we're looking at here tonight, that everyone here tonight is a sinner. No question about it. So that means that if everyone's a sinner tonight, it says that the wages of sin is death. Now hold your finger there in Romans and go all the way back to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 20. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. See, there's the same devil that met Adam and Eve in the garden. This is, Revelation is yet to happen. So when we read this verse, we're looking for what's coming. Remember the first verses we read were a book of Isaiah before Adam and Eve were even created. And what happened to Lucifer there? He got kicked out of heaven. Why? Because he said, I will be like the Most High. Does God give his throne to anyone? No, he doesn't. And God said, okay, that's it. Pride, you know what? Pride, God said, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. The first one is a proud look. So God says to Lucifer, okay, you're out of here. The Bible tells us that up to one-third of the angels followed Lucifer. Today we call those demons. And they're real. They're as real as angels are real. And we battle principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. And so now, fast forward ahead, here's the end of the devil's tenure, so to speak. Look where he's headed. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night. How long? Forever and ever. How long is that? Forever. There is no definition of time there. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things. Remember, the second thing that Adam brought, the first thing he brought was death. The second thing he brought was judgment. Here comes the judgment. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were what? Judged, verse 12, out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were what? Judged, every man according to their works. Notice verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Second death. Romans 6:23, we read it a moment ago. It said, for the wages of sin is death. And it says here in Revelation 20:14, this is the second death. You see, that is the penalty. That is the penalty that Adam brought on the entire human race when he sinned. He put death, spiritual death, and this judgment and this condemnation. But we know that the Bible tells us that that hell was not created for you, and hell was not created for me. Hell was not created for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. And obviously they're there. It says that in verse number 10. But it also tells us that there's going to be a host of people that are going to be judged here in Revelation chapter number 20. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Forever and ever and ever. So Adam's one act produced death, judgment, and condemnation. Now, let's quickly, we have a few minutes to go, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Remember I said all of us here tonight are either under Adam or under who? Jesus Christ. If you're under Adam, then that is your destination. Your destination under Adam is hell. There's no reason to make it sound any more pleasant than the Bible does. And I'm not joking about it either. We're not joking about hell. Hell is a lot more than a cuss word that people use. Hell is a real place where people are there now. And they will spend eternity there. The only place I see in the Bible where anybody is there, going to get even out of it for a moment, is right there in what we just read. And I don't want anyone else to go there. Can't do anything about anyone that's passed away. We can't do anything about them. If you're breathing, and you're breathing tonight, then you have a chance tonight to say, I'm done with Adam. I need Jesus Christ. I'm done with Adam. I need Jesus Christ. And by the way, here's the good news. It's your choice. It's your choice. Not me for you or you for me. Me for me and you for you. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Thank you for listening. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. For as in who? Adam. Okay, there's number one, Adam. For as in Adam, all what? Everyone that's under Adam, dead. Even so, or the same way, in who? Christ shall, what's the next word? All. How many is all? Everyone that's in Christ. Right? Everyone that's in Christ shall be made what? Alive. I like alive way better than dead. Amen? I like alive way better than dead. And so here it is tonight. The Bible says if you're under Adam, you're dead, you're on your way to hell. If you're under Christ, you're alive and on your way to heaven. It's your choice. When we read Luke chapter number 2 about the birth of Jesus Christ, we are reading about the incarnation. We are reading how God becomes man. Why did God become man? Why did God allow himself to be put in a manger in the Christmas season as we celebrate the birth of Christ? When we read about this, we are reading about this one act, and it's not the birth. If that's all we knew about Jesus was that he was born in a manger, and that's all we know about him, that's not enough. The one act that Jesus came and spent time, humanly speaking, for 33 years approximately, the one act, the one place that he was pointed toward was the cross. All of it pointing toward the cross. From the very moment that he was put into the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost, he was pointing to the cross. The purpose of God becoming man would lead to one act. This event would take place on Golgotha, we call Calvary. I'm going to read several verses. Please just listen because I only have a few minutes. Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The cross, the one event that the manger pointed to was the cross. If you're in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, you may follow along as I read verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. But God, he proved his love. He showed his love toward us. That while we were yet sinners under Adam, sinners under Adam, Christ died for us. Because you see, sin has a penalty. Death is the penalty. Someone had to die. The one event that Jesus was born in a manger for was the cross. Here is what Christ's one act produced. Romans 5, are you there? I'm putting it into overdrive now. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by many, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in, what's the next word? Life. That one act brought life. Remember what Adam's one act brought? Death. Christ's one act brought life. You can also read that in verses 18 and 21. Secondly, Christ's one act produced a gift. Look at verse 15. Halfway through the verse. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man who? Jesus Christ. The second thing that one act produced was a free gift. You see that in verse 16, 17, 18. Thirdly, that one act produced a gift of grace. The first one is a free gift of eternal life. Life, a free gift, a gift of grace. The third thing, what is grace? Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. What do I deserve? I deserve to die under Adam and go to hell. But God's grace allows me to choose Jesus Christ and then go to heaven. The fourth thing that it produced was the gift of justification. Justification, which basically means just as if I was never even a sinner. As if I was never born under Adam. Why? Because I then take on Christ. And has Christ ever sinned? No. The Bible says that he was perfect. He was sinless. He never sinned one time. And yet without sin, it says. So that's the record I grab when I choose Christ. And then the last one that it gives us ultimate victory. Look at verse number 21 of our text. Even so might grace reign. R-E-I-G-N, reign, meaning victory, meaning all-powerful, that grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, you're either under Adam or you're under Christ. You say, Pastor Ben, I don't know which one I'm under. Then you know what? You need to seriously listen to God's voice speaking in your heart, and you need to choose Christ. Now, I can't make you. I would never force you. I would never twist your arm, but I would definitely implore you. You need to choose Christ. I did not say become a Baptist. I said choose Christ. Otherwise, if you die under Adam, you have no second chance. If you die under Adam, death, judgment, condemnation.